This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina Postgame Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. That's another Inside Carolina Podcast host right there, Taylor Vipolis, up in the rafters fame. Justin Jackson fame. Ooh, it'd be good to hear from Justin and Dewey tonight, but it'll have to suffice for Dewey and I. 7 p.m. games are not good for either schedule. Know what to say, know what to start out, so I'm going to punt it to you and get your go-to thoughts right out the gate. I mean, the scoreboard will look a lot better than it was, for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, you could spare me the last 4.5, 5 minutes where the team did start to show some fight. If you care about North Carolina basketball, this was a demoralizing game. I think it started last night when you watched the Duke-Miami game, and a lot of people were saying Duke kind of had a hangover, Miami was just a better team. I think that kind of fits the message that me and Dewey were saying. Like, Duke is not a good team. North Carolina proved that they are also just not a good team. That rolled over into tonight, where Wake Forest was just essentially getting whatever they wanted. We could get into it later, but the defense Carolina was playing, the drop coverage, it was essentially just spotting Wake Forest points, and it took them a really long time to get out of it or even try something different. The offense, they can't shoot. They have guards that are going to turn the ball over. They don't run in transition. It was just I described it on Twitter as this Carolina team is blood in the water, where teams go into games knowing their weaknesses and they're able to expose each and every one of them. And until something drastic changes, because the roster isn't changing, this is the roster Carolina is set with. It just feels like more results like this are going to happen, especially on the road when you're in these hostile type environments.
Yeah, and let me first of all shout out Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com, and everybody. Assume almost 300 people here are subscribed to the YouTube channel. If you're not, go ahead and do it. Subscribe to the podcast channel, all that good stuff. Leave us a review, rate us, review us, and all that good stuff. Whatever you want to say, I love reviews, I love feedback, so by all means. I'm on to hat tip to producer John from On The Beat Live fame. He tweeted out, and I thought it when it happened. Carolina trailed 9-12. It was 13:52 left in the first half. Leaky Black gets a run out. And I'm not calling out Leaky in particular, because this is a system-wide failure. He gets a run out, and he didn't really sprint to the dunk, allowing Appleby to come in and knock it away and get a foul. And Carolina got 0 points out of that. And my thought, Vip, and I want your take on it, and maybe I'm being too micro here, but I was like, that sums it up. You've got a dunk from a veteran. Just sprint out, rip it, get back on defense. You're down one and got a little bit of momentum, and you're feeling good about yourself. I thought that play pretty much summed up this team for me this year, basically.
Yeah, I think summed it up is the perfect way to describe it. I think going through his thought process, it was he gets a steal. He assumed Wake Forest was just going to give him an easy basket. It's kind of the problem with this Carolina team that we've talked about at times where they go into games, they assume teams are going to just roll over for them because they're North Carolina, because they got to the championship, when it's the complete opposite, that going to the championship last year was this massive target on their back. And it goes back to the point we've made it about football a couple of times, where everybody could see how big the target is on your back, except for some of the players on this North Carolina team. And my fear from this game is that the last 5 minutes or so, you're going to hear in the post game press conferences, like, we're trending towards the right direction, or the same status quo we hear after performances where it's just the same results happening time after time. And I think, yeah, Leakey is like a pretty specific example, because I remember in the first half, I was thinking Tyler Nickel doesn't play at all in the first half. You could check the plus minus. I don't have it in front of me. I think he was +7 or +8 the last time I checked, before they started getting into that foul fest. And I think there's two things that I think you could fault Hubert Davis, because I think a lot of the blame has been put on the players. The two things that I would fault him for right now is, one, stayed in that drop coverage way too long. They're getting a good screen and drop coverage. The guard is essentially just dying on the screen in trail position, and a good guard like Appleby, like Wong from Miami, like Burton from Pittsburgh, they're going to be able to pick you apart when you have Armando Bacot or you have Jalen Washington dropping that far back into coverage. And somebody from the Carolina staff scouted to say, we have to be playing this drop coverage. And you saw pretty early in that Wake Forest game how bad it was. And they didn't really get out of it until they went back into the locker room and they could make adjustments. And then the second problem that you kind of have is just a loyalty to a fault, where somebody like Tyler Nickel doesn't play at all in the first half. He comes in the second half, Carolina starts to look a lot better. People have been asking for Puff Johnson. Puff Johnson, I think, is a little bit different because he has been hurt, and I think there is more of a willingness to get him involved. But when Carolina keeps having the same problems, people are like, let's see things from the bench. And some of that's not going to work. Like, Jalen Washington wasn't the answer tonight, especially in that drop coverage type defense. But you have to have some willingness to change things up, especially when Carolina is getting these results where they have dropped three straight games.
Yeah, I mean, I thought in the first half, and Dewey and I were texting during it, in the first half when he put the subs in, he went to the bench relatively early, and Wake Forest just destroyed those guys out there. I mean, there were no let up. I do agree about Nickel. I think Nickel needs to play more. If for anything, he was +8 tonight, and we've talked about the plus minus is not really a thing overall, but in a small sample size, he was +8. Puff is +4. The only other person not negative, well, Pete Nance was +3, and Caleb Love was even. And there's some discussion in the chat, and quite frankly, in the first half, and I tweeted it, we're going to see if this team's quit. And I think the answer to that is clearly they have not, even though I do equate the second half, especially late in the second half, to scoring a couple touchdowns late in a blowout. And that's what I felt like watching that. And it was interesting how Wake Forest just continued to stay off the gas and let North Carolina get back in it, or get some semblance of being back in it. But Vip, looking at the numbers, and we talked about this last week, Carolina ends up shooting 41% for the game, but they were under that for a long period of time. I mean, they're just the worst shooting team that there's been. They're in the top three or four ever at North Carolina. Is there any reason to believe that something can change? Because one thing we have seen, and this is what I want you to talk about, is we haven't seen any change from the coaching staff as far as the style of offense. Maybe there's some small minor tweaks or whatever, but I think what we've seen is what we've gotten, basically, especially in the last month or two. There's just no difference to make me believe that this is going to improve, to your point, other than playing some different bodies.
Yeah, Carolina shot 4 of 18 from three, and Caleb Love was the only four threes that Carolina made. I think Tyler Nickel and Puff would be more shooting to get into a lineup, and the reason why their percentages really don't match that for the eye test is because they're not really in the flow of the offense. They don't have the chance to be high volume guys like Caleb Love or like RJ Davis. But I think the one problem you do have with Tyler Nickel, and you saw it at the end of the game when Hubert Davis was going offense for defense, subbing out Nickel anytime they did score for Seth Trimble, is Nickel's inability to defend. He really hasn't shown the ability to defend. And the problem with this Carolina team is you have RJ Davis, you have Caleb Love, and those are already two guys that you're trying to hide on the defensive end. So if you add Tyler Nickel to that rotation, you have Nickel, Love, RJ Davis as guys you're trying to hide defensively. We saw in the first half, teams are essentially just trying to get RJ Davis in pick and roll scenarios, and they're trying to get RJ and Caleb Love in the post. Once they're getting into those situations, like I mentioned earlier, it's essentially free points for the other team. And when Carolina is struggling to shoot the ball, it's going to be tough to keep trying to play catch up with their inability to defend and their inability to shoot.
Yeah, and that is a bad combination college basketball or basketball and sports in general. If you can't do what you have to do to put points on the board, looking at Appleby, 6 for 20 from the field. So you're like, okay, that's not bad. 0 for 6. You know, that's pretty good defense. He shot 28 free throws, Vip. And I know 10 or so of them were late, but I can't recall a point guard shooting 28 free throws. But to your point earlier about the drop coverage, it was a field day for the guy. He finished 35, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. One of the better games I've seen against North Carolina in a long time. And it's not surprising. What do you think about it? Did you see anything that was surprising tonight? I guess that's the biggest thing, and that's where the lack of faith that anything will change comes in for me.
Yeah, I think I just don't think this Carolina team is really that good. You just kind of have to get it out of your mind. The preseason number one, the Sports Illustrated cover we talked about last podcast, being able to just assess what you're seeing on the court and how some of those things were the worst possible things that could happen for this Carolina team, where everybody had, you know, myself included, had this thought of this team of being one that could get back to the national championship, instead of looking at the big picture and saying, you know, outside of a 6-week stretch, this is a team that has highs and they have lows. And for the most part, it seems like they do have more lows than highs. When you get the covers and the preseason number one out of your head, and you are considering that this is an unranked team in the ACC, a middle of the road ACC team, I don't think there can really be anything that surprises you, whether it is the highs or whether it is the lows that come with basketball. And then just going back to that, the drop coverage point, it's like a Chris Paul in the NBA, when you give him that coverage with the center dropping back, because, you know, you're not having somebody attached to his hip. When you're giving him that much space around the free throw line, he's going to be able to pick you apart. And you saw when Wake did it to Carolina, you know, Carolina was settling for those mid-range jumpers, which is exactly what they're kind of playing towards.
Yeah, and folks in the chat or some people in the chat are saying we're being too negative. Well, Carolina just lost their third straight game in the ACC. They are currently 15-9 and 7-6 in the conference. If you believe in the bracketology mess, which I do not, which is ridiculous, and the net and all that, because Clemson's first in the ACC, yet they're 11 seed in this guy's. They're not going to be in the next bracketology. They've got Clemson coming to town on Saturday, who is first in the ACC. Is there time to turn things around? There's always a chance. But North Carolina is trending in the wrong direction. Good thing they're 10-1 at home. You know, they've got a home game coming up. So looking at the schedule and looking at all that, I think Carolina needs to get it done. What people fail to realize, I think, when they're watching some of these games, and it's what I've done as well, is Vip and Dewey and Justin, last time we did this, talked about how bad a basketball team Duke was. And everybody said Duke was bad, and then Miami blew Duke out. Well, Carolina lost to Duke, and they have to play Miami. Wake Forest is not a good basketball team. They have some good players. Right now, currently, according to the net, Vip, did you hear this discussion? Carolina's best win on the season by the metrics is Ohio State.
I don't understand those metrics. Doesn't Michigan have a better record and beat Ohio State head-to-head?
I don't understand how it works, but this is what they look at. And Ohio State has a losing record. And somebody in chat said they beat North Carolina State. They did. They absolutely. And right now, just like in football, Duke was the best win. Right now, I think Carolina's win over NC State's their best win of the season, and they'll get that return game. Close us down. 20 minutes in, talking about a train wreck of a game. Good to see the guys that don't get to play as much get an opportunity to come in, get some time, make it a game, or make it at least a less lopsided game on the scoreboard. So there's some positives there. But going forward, Vip, you got anything positive, man?
Yeah, I think the positives are that two of your next games are, you know, against really tough teams in Clemson and Miami, but you do catch them at home. I think if you look at college basketball as a whole, you could see how hard it is to win on the road in conference play. I don't think that's a Carolina exclusive problem. I think that's a national problem in college basketball. When you put kids that are in that 18 to 22 window in new environments and uncomfortable environments, it's going to be tough for them. So I think the fact that they are coming back to Chapel Hill, that's a massive plus for them. But the part of their schedule is getting really tough right now. Clemson, Miami, at NC State, on the road at Notre Dame, home against Virginia, Florida State, and then Duke to close it out. So this team is sliding right now, and they're still just getting into the toughest part of their schedule, which isn't the best. And for Carolina, I think you need to figure out how you are so lost defensively. And it's not just a player thing. It's not just the coaching thing. It's a little bit of everybody. And I just think there needs to be some accountability and some looking in the mirror to try to figure this out and realize that, you know, teams are coming to give you their best shot every night.
Indeed. Accountability, that's a big thing. We'll see if some of that carries over. Carolina had some positives there in the second half. The first half reminded me of roughly 20 years ago in the 8-20 season, to be honest with you. And 8 years ago today, Dean Smith passed. I can't imagine a Dean Smith team going through what this team is going through. But hyperbole, Brian Ives, Tyree Appleby's 23 made free throws are the most by any player in a game in ACC history. I knew I hadn't heard it before. And
yeah,
I'm getting
I was
going
to say. you said, has that ever happened?
takes the record from York Larice against Duke with 21. Taylor Viplis, I'm Tommy Ashley. Carolina falls to Wake Forest. They got to get it turned around somehow. You mentioned winning on the road. Miami's 5-4 on the road, 13-0 at home. So they're beatable on the road. Clemson 4-3 on the road. They're 12-1 at home, so they're definitely beatable on the road. And Carolina gets them both here coming up in the next week. We'll be right here to cover it. Inside Carolina, Adam Smith, Ross Martin at Winston, taking care of all that. Jim Hawkins with the photos. Johnny T-shirt sponsoring us. That's Taylor Vipolis. Look forward to you and Justin break it all down in the near future. We'll be back on The Beat Live Thursday night. And then we'll talk about Carolina and Clemson on Saturday with Inside Carolina Live at 10 a.m. with Joey Powell. Taylor, always appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.